So today, if you like to be in your Word today, we're John 10. You can be there, or we'll just have it up on the screen as well. So, because I do use sometimes some different translations, but we're going to start there in John 10 and hit a few different scriptures this morning. All right. Hear these words. It says, "I am the gate." Jesus is speaking to us. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. This word that Jesus gives us tells us why he came to this earth. He uses a lot of analogies, of course. You know, if you can imagine, sheep and cattle and things like that would have been in everybody's mindset. That would have been a very normal for their culture. You may not have ever, I don't know if you've ever seen a sheep or petted a sheep or known anything about sheep, but the Lord is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd, and he takes care of his own. He takes care of his flock. And he leads them, and he guides them, and he directs them, and he blesses them, and he provides for them, and he heals them, and so many things. We could just go down the list. He is the good shepherd. And he says, "Those who enter through me," because he's the gate, "shall be saved. They shall know me. They shall know my voice," right? He says, "The sheep will know my voice. And they will come in and go out and find pasture." And the pasture is a good thing, right? You may not think eating grass is a good thing, but if you're a sheep and it's nice, lush, green grass and it's just wonderful and you have a whole field laid before you, you're happy. You're a happy sheep. And so we find pasture in the Lord. But there's this other person that the scripture is talking about this morning. There's this other person. It's called the thief. Now, who does the thief refer to? Right? We know Satan, the devil, our adversary, our enemy. This is what it's referring to. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So he seems to be looking for some sheep to devour. We live in a world where there's a whole lot of conflict going on. We may not be always in the middle of it, but all we have to do is read the news to see what's happening across the world today. Wars and rumors of wars. All kinds of terrible things. War in Ukraine, war in the Middle East, civil war in many nations where people are taking up arms. And lots of destruction is going on. Lots of lives are being lost in this warfare. And then there's other kind of wars that are taking place as well. There's war on drugs. That was the whole big thing, closing our border, getting that fentanyl out of from crossing our borders. There's war against human trafficking, slavery. There's cultural wars that are being waged in our own country. We see it every day. We read the news all the time. Wars over gender, wars over identity, wars over the heart of America. It's going on all around us. We don't really have to be very discerning to realize there's a war. There's wars going on around us. We see and we hear. Now, sometimes these wars are far from us. Sometimes they come close. Yet we see the evidence. We see the evidence around us. And though we may see the evidence manifested in the natural, we also come to realize that And the scriptures will even tell us that we come to realize that there is a spiritual dimension behind everything that's happening, every conflict that's taking place on the earth today, every war, every cultural battle, everything that's going on, there's a spiritual dimension behind it. And so we have to be sensitive to realize, like, wait a minute, I have no doubt that in the cultural wars and the physical wars, there are spiritual roots that are involved. There are plans and schemes of the devil that are trying to destroy people's lives, ruin people's lives, So we see this going on in the world today. And if we're sensitive, we understand that it's not just somebody not liking somebody else. There are spiritual realities behind all these things. Now, I don't know about you, but most people don't like war, and we don't like conflict, and we don't like to see these issues taking place. And most of us don't seek out these conflicts. We like to steer clear. That's the natural nature of most everybody, to steer clear. But what if there's certain warfare that comes our way, and we can't do anything about it? We're in it, no matter what we do, to try to avoid it. We're in it, even if we don't want to be. We have to realize that we're not just living in a natural world. We all know we're living in a spiritual dimension all around us. Even here today, we're not just sitting here today, but there's a spiritual dimension also around us. I believe there's angels here with us today, even as we worship and as we gather together. Different kinds of angels. Now, I don't see in the angelic realm. Some of you have, and some of you do. But I believe they're here with us today. The Holy Spirit is here with us today. He's residing on the inside of us. Because if we're born again by the Spirit of God, the Spirit lives within us. And we're not born by the flesh. I mean, yes, we are. You're all born by the flesh. However, so many years ago, you to the count. But you're also born by the Spirit of God. He now comes and lives within you. You're a new creation in Christ. Hallelujah. That's yours. It's yours. It's been given to you. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. We're born of God. And you know what? When we're born of God, guess what? We have a natural enemy. He doesn't like that. Because when we're born of God, we have an enemy called Satan. He doesn't like it. Because he wants to put everybody in this world in slavery under him. That's his goal. He says it. He even said to Jesus, worship me, and I'll give you all kinds of things. I'll give you lands, and I'll give you kingdoms. I'll make you rich. He does that to people all the time today. Yeah. Worship me. Give me your gifts, and I'll make you famous. I'll make you rich. I'll give you top 40 songs. I'll put your name in headlights. Just worship me. The devil does it all the time. But if you're born of God, you're a target of the enemy, and that's something that we have to realize. We have to realize. And we're a target whether we're on the front lines or we're far from it, even if we're trying to run away from it. We're not safe. We're not safe from spiritual warfare just because we live in nice houses, just because we have tall fences, doesn't mean we're safe from spiritual warfare. We're not immune to spiritual warfare because we're basically good people and we're not looking for trouble. I'm not looking for trouble. Are you looking for trouble? I'm not looking for trouble. But we're not immune to spiritual warfare just because we're basically good people. You know, common sense tells us that evil things are much more likely to happen where sin abounds. And there are certain strongholds of the enemy where sin does abound, like bastions of wicked behavior that invite demonic activity and make way for terrible, horrific events to take place. So I'm telling you today that I'm not going on a joyride with the Hell's Angels biker gang. I'm not doing it. I'm not seeking them out. I don't want to joyride with them. They can do that all by themselves. And I'm not going to a war-torn country. I'm not seeking that out either. Now, unless the Lord calls me, because the Lord does. He does call people to war-torn countries. Because why the gospel must be preached in war-torn countries today? You take someone like Heidi Baker in Mozambique. That country's a mess. It is so politically destructive. People are dying every day. Villages are being burned. And she's working with people that are suffering under this, losing family members. And yet what's happening, the gospel is being spread. She's been given a call. It's not an easy call. It's a hard call, what she's been given. She even says, as she's spoken many times, she's expressed how much time she has to spend with the Lord to just even make it. She says she spends 6 hours a day in prayer, in worship, in the Word of God, every day, just to be able to handle the death and destruction that's happening in that country. Because they're in the midst of it. She spoke of a pastor who had just lost his daughter and his wife. Just under an attack, and the village was burned. Evil, wickedness, the devices of Satan. But yet, God has given her a place to share the gospel, and the gospel is spreading. So God works in war-torn countries. God is at work all over the world. There's not a place where God cannot go, as long as he has people who will go. But if we're honest, most of us don't want to go to Mozambique, to the front lines. But we have to be careful in our thinking. We have to be careful to think that we have nothing to worry about in our nice suburbia, Midlothian village, right? Where things are pretty good. Things are pretty good. The enemy wants us to think that. Because the Bible tells us that the enemy is roaming around, seeking and looking for those to devour, those to bring trouble to, those to bring destruction to. He's looking and he's seeking, even in a nice place like Midlothian. 1 Peter 5, chapter 8 says this, and I think it's important because these are words that we need to hear today. It says, be alert. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Now, that was a reality in the first century, because it wasn't popular being a Christian, and oftentimes there was persecution. There was persecution for being this, sometimes was considered a new sect of Judaism, followers of Christ. They weren't always well received, and sometimes they were persecuted, beaten, and even killed. But it's no different today. The enemy is still looking around, trying to devour. But that's why the word comes out. It says, be alert and be of sober mind. Sober mind also says that the reality is, yes, there are front lines, maybe far away, but the reality is even the devil is at work here in our society, in our culture, in our cities, here in America. And he's trying to do things to bring destruction in the church, in your families, in your life. And we have to resist him. It says, standing firm in the faith. And we have to realize that money won't protect us, right? Owning a gun won't even protect us. You ever thought about how it is to try to shoot a tormenting spirit? I don't think you can. And I say that because, sadly, there's people who take their own lives because of tormenting spirits. That's spiritual warfare. And it's real. And even Christians can come under that guise. But God wants to set us free. He wants us to stand strong, and he wants us to resist the enemy, to learn how to fight. You know, the enemy's as direct as he can be when he can be. He'll kill, steal, destroy. But then he has this other thing called guerrilla warfare. Because when he can't be obvious, he'll be covert. He'll take a covert pathway, a sneaky pathway. He'll try to look for the back door, any angle he can get. And so, yes, warfare of the mind is real. Deceit, lies, propaganda. He's trying to spread that all the time. So it's hard to know what the truth is. I mean, don't we live in a day where people are like, what is truth? What is truth? And he tries to make it very difficult and very hard. He looks for open doorways to attack. He's prowling, looking for weaknesses. And the Bible tells us to be alert and be aware. The Bible also tells us to take action. Take action. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 says this. It says, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. We're not. I mean, if we understand and we've lived long enough and we see the kind of things the enemy does, he tries to stir up trouble in all kinds of ways. One of that is getting people to be bitter towards other people, angry towards other people, like angry at each other, bitter towards each other, unforgiving towards each other. He wants us to be the Hatfield and the McCoys, just being at war with one another. And all of a sudden, he's right in the middle, laughing, saying, ha ha, I've got them believing that the enemy is just across that border. So we don't see the true enemy that's going on. We need to know the devices and the schemes of the enemy. But if we do, what do we do with that knowledge? What do we do when we know the devices and the schemes of the enemy? You know, we can take action and we should take action. I can take action, for instance, to forgive. Forgive those who've hurt me. Forgive those who've spoken wrongly about me. To forgive and to not let things fester. I can take action when the Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Because, right, we get angry sometimes. Especially when somebody does something wrong or somebody, or you know, that argument that comes out of the blue, like, what in the world was that about? How did that come about? And we don't know what it is, but it just causes us to be angry. A lot of things can cause us to be angry, but do not let the sun go down. Do not live in anger. Do not let things fester. Be quick to settle accounts. Deal with things that they need to be dealt with. I don't know if you know, but ungodly spirits like to attach themselves where things fester. You know, it's like flies are attracted to the rotting meat. It's like demons are attracted to open wounds. And I'm talking about spiritual wounds on the inside of us, because when something happens and there's open wounds, something that deeply hurts us and we don't want to deal with it and we don't want to talk about it and we don't want to go there or touch on it. And when we don't like this, but demons are very much attracted to those places. And they attach themselves in those places of deep woundedness. God wants us to be healed, to be whole, and to be free. So we need to take action. You know, you think about spirits like, and there is something called a spirit of fear. Okay, there's healthy fear, and there's a thing called the spirit of fear. Now, healthy fear is if you're facing a charging rhino. Fear tells you to run, right? That's healthy. That's good. You should get out of the way. You should find a safe place. There's healthy fear. But not everything's healthy fear. There's the kind of fear that people have that they can't even leave their own home because they're afraid. They're prisoners in their own home because they're afraid. And some people will never prosper in life because they cannot overcome fears, deep fears inside of them. And they'll never venture and become the person that God says that you are. You won't live by faith. You'll end up living by fear. It keeps so many people bound up. You know, if you've been wounded, there's a fear in your life that it'll happen again, right? And we will do whatever we can do to protect ourselves. There's nothing wrong with having boundaries, by the way. Boundaries are good. But a fear that directs our lives and that controls us is not good. We don't have freedom. And that spirit can dictate us in our lives. So God wants to set us free. He does not want us to be bound up. He wants those wounds to be healed. And he wants those spirits, those things like fear gone out of our lives. So we have to take action. We can't become passive. Because when we become passive, we can't counteract the devil and the schemes of the enemy. So we cannot be passive. You know, Paul says to forgive, to let go of wrongs. That is taking action. In another case, Paul says to don't meditate upon wicked behavior. Don't think about what people do in the evil aspects of whatever they're doing. Don't think about those things, but think about what's good and pure and righteous and holy. Think about those things. See, what we focus on is important. Our focus is our mindset. If we're not winning the war in our minds, then the enemy is directing us the way he wants us to go because of thoughts, right? If we're not winning the warfare of our mind, thoughts can lead us astray. The wrong kind of thoughts can lead us astray. So we're called to be aware. We're called to be alert. We're called to be vigilant, to take action, to counter the wiles and the schemes of the enemy. Our prayer life is important. Our worship is important, so important. Our study and application of the Bible is so important. And if you find these things waning in your life, be careful, because maybe the enemy is convincing you that you don't need those things and that you just be better off. I don't know what you like to do or don't like to do. It could be just going out and playing golf every day or seeking entertainment or this, that, and the other. Maybe you just don't need that because life seems to be pretty safe out there. But don't be lulled to sleep. Because believers who wane in their spiritual lives are falling asleep. Don't be lulled into complacency. Because we do become easy targets when we get lulled into complacency. You know, the devil works in people's lives, and a lot of that guerrilla warfare is real. He also works in churches because he wants to get you and your family. He wants to get things messed up and in disarray, but he wants that in churches too. And he'll try to bring a divisive spirit into a church. He'll try to bring accusation, critical spirits, divisive spirits, and things like habitual sins without repentance. If the enemy can cause churches to fall away from their first love, then he's winning the battle. He's winning the battle. But we're called to keep our lampstand burning. We're called to keep in the flow with the Holy Spirit, in touch with God daily. And so we become very aware of how God wants us to fight this battle, to overcome spiritual complacency, to repent of our sins, to keep short accounts with others. Drawing closer to God. The enemy wants the church to stop praying, to stop worshiping, to stop sharing the gospel. And if he can, he's winning. If the church just becomes a social club, he's winning. He doesn't have anything to worry about. If worship just becomes songs, if it just becomes a performance, he's winning. If pastors just give nice messages that have zero conviction of any kind, he's winning. If the enemy can convince people not to attend church, like, you don't need to attend church. You could just watch it online. Well, not Messiah, but you could watch it online. You could watch church online, all there by yourself at home. But the enemy wants to isolate people. He wants to keep people out of fellowship. He wants to get people lonely and by themselves. Jesus said that he's building an ecclesia that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That the gates of hell cannot win against a powerful, mighty army of God. But you understand that this terminology is the church is on the offensive. It's taking action. And it's fighting a spiritual fight. See, we're to know how to fight this good fight of faith. Each and every one of us needs to know how to fight. Okay? You don't have to be Rambo. That's an old mention. Yeah. I grew up with Rambo. But this is not about being as bad as you can be. And how many M16s, what is it? I don't know what they are. But just lugging as much ammunition on your shoulders as you possibly can. We learn how to fight a spiritual battle with the spiritual warfare that God's, with the armor that God's given us and the tools that God's given us. And a mature church that is prepared and engaged will win. Because he's already won. He's already won. But the church has to be active and stay engaged. We can't be ignorant of his weapons, of how the enemy comes against us. We can't be ignorant of the weapons that we have to fight the enemy. But the enemy likes it when people trade in their weapons and trade in preparedness to fight, to take on civilian clothes and just try to sit it out. And sometimes that's what we do. We try to sit it out. You know, you may not be the enemy's first target, but you are a target. Every one of us. And there's too many believers who are crippled in some way or another because of spiritual warfare. Damage to our soul. It could be the enemy attacking our finances, the enemy attacking our families, the enemy coming at us, attacking our mindset. And as I talked about, even the sanity and clarity of our own minds. Yay. The attacks of the enemy, in some ways, when you experience it, needs to wake us up. Each and every one of us. It needs to wake us up. Now, I'll go back and study the history of World War II. You know what happened in World War II. America was not involved in the early war. You know, you had Hitler who kept taking land. And then there was appeasement, okay? Because nobody wanted a war. Europe didn't want a war. Nobody wanted a war. But Hitler kept taking land. He kept taking over countries. And finally, some people said, we have no choice. We're going to war. America did not join at first, right? Because we stayed out of the war. We didn't want to get in the war. It was overseas. We didn't want to commit because we knew that would be a serious commitment of time, resources, and people. And many people would die. Many Americans would die. But what happened that got, what took place that got us into war? Right? 1941, right? With December 7th. Pearl Harbor. We were attacked. We were a target. The enemy came after us, and the bombs fell. That changed everything. That shifted the whole war because we could no longer stand neutral. We were in war whether we liked it or not. We were in war. The whole tide turned. The American sentiment changed. And we're like, okay, you're going to come after us? We're joining. We're getting involved. And we sent many, many, many men and munitions overseas to fight the war. In many ways, the war shifted at that time. Because the enemy didn't realize how powerful America would be. And it wasn't just one on the front lines. Yes, you say it is one on the front lines. But what happened in America was that all of America became mobilized. If you think about it, factories that were making things like cars and kids' toys. Now these factories were being changed over, and they were making tanks and guns and bullets. And the people who had to leave the factories to go overseas to fight, those people were replaced by people who couldn't fight on the war front, but they could fight at home. Remember, women. Women were involved in these factories making bullets and tanks and all this kind of stuff. It was Rosie the Riveter, right? Rolled up sleeves. She had some muscle. She was ready to fight. So the whole home front was mobilized. Many people say that because of our ability on the home front to produce as many tanks and warfare, the ability to produce like a war industry was a big reason why we won the war. Because we kept supplying and supplying and supplying. You know, the home front has to be mobilized. Sometimes we think the front lines are over there. But we need to be mobilized here. I think about missionaries. You know, America used to be the greatest missionary sending country in the world, but that's no longer true. We have to have people who go, but you also have to have a home front of people who send and get behind and say, we want to evangelize the world. We want to see the gospel grow. It takes everybody's effort. So what will wake us up? I hope it's not a Pearl Harbor, right? In your life or in my life or in our lives. But we're called to be vigilant and aware, prepared and skilled at fighting with spiritual weapons. And the Bible says, take your stand. Ephesians 6, verse 10. It says, take your stand. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you could take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. God's given you tools. He's given you armor. He's given you weapons to fight with. We're called to take a stand in Him. We don't stand alone. We're to stand in Him, right? It's like a policeman who goes out there to direct traffic. He could step out into the middle of a crossroads where there's lots of traffic. Trucks and semis are coming to and fro. And he could put out his hand and he could stop a big semi-truck. Why can he stop a big semi-truck? Not because he's big and strong. Not because that semi-truck could absolutely run him over. But he steps out into that crossroads, into that intersection, because he has the authority to do so. Do you know that Christ has given you authority? He's given you authority to stand against the wiles and the attacks of the enemy. You don't stand alone. You don't stand a chance alone. But in him, you have the authority and the power to tear down strongholds. Wow. To tear down strongholds. That's powerful. You know, God's the one. He's the one who sets us free. He's the one where we take our stand, whom we take our stand in. The Bible even says that that Satan is defeated. He's really a defeated foe. He's already defeated. Revelations 12:11 says they've defeated the saints. The saints have defeated him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much as they were afraid to die. If you're going to go in the battlefield, you can't be afraid. You can't let fear dictate. You won't do well in the battlefield when fear is dictating you. And you can't stand. But we need to know that Satan is a defeated foe. The blood of the Lamb has won the victory. So let's learn how to fight and to fight well, to put on the armor. Put on all the armor. Don't leave anything off. Don't leave anything exposed. And take up your sword. Take up the word of God and fight. Learn how to fight well and learn how to fight with wisdom. Let the Holy Spirit guide you and direct you. And don't fight alone. Isolation simply makes us weak. Ecclesiastes 4:12 says it very clearly. It says, though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. There's power in the body of Christ. There's power of us praying for each other and helping each other and strengthening each other. There's also power in confession. Confessing our sins to one another. Sometimes we have to find those people. We have to find those trusted people in our lives. Anything that's held in darkness belongs to the enemy. Anything that helps. Any hidden sin in our lives that's in darkness belongs to the enemy. And I don't want anything in my life to belong to the enemy. So bringing everything to the light. See, that's one way we fight. Bring everything into the light. Let there be nothing hidden. Then what can the enemy accuse me of if it's all out in the open? What can he accuse me of? The Bible says that we're not to stand alone. One strand is not strong enough, but a cord of three strands together is strong against any attack. Do you share your struggles with other believers? Do you pray for each other? Do you pray? Do you pray for someone? Does someone pray for you in your marriage? Do you pray together? Are you together? Because the enemy will try to divide you. The enemy will try to divide you. Bring up arguments that you don't even realize what in the world, where did they come from? How did that even happen? Why are we arguing over this? But he's trying to bring you apart. Come together. Come together in prayer. Come together. This is the way you're going to fight the enemy. Together. The devil wants you isolated, alone, and unaware of his schemes. But we need to be believers who pray, who seek God, who help each other, and strengthen each other. So hear this morning. These are just my simple points. Be alert. Church, be alert. Be aware. Church, be aware of the schemes of the enemy and take action. Be a people who don't just idly sit by when you see things that are amiss and awry. Sometimes we have to pray, Lord, what is this? What's going on? What's happening? There's something happening that's not quite right. And let the Holy Spirit reveal. And let the Holy Spirit even show you actions that you are to take. And get the word out and fight against the enemy. Be alert, be aware, and take action. Overcome passivity. Bring everything into the light of Christ, of Jesus Christ. You'll be healthier. You'll be stronger. You'll be mobilized to do and to do what God's called you to do and to be who God's called you to be. That's why I pray for each of you to be strong in the Lord, to be strong in his might, and let his Spirit strengthen you today. I mean, if there's something today that you need to bring to the Lord, don't wait. Bring it to God. Confess. If there's somebody you need to forgive, forgive. Don't wait. Ask for forgiveness. Seek forgiveness. Let go. If there's somebody you need to reconcile with today, reconcile. Keep short accounts. Don't let the enemy have a foothold in your lives. Take action. There's something that God may be calling you to do that I didn't even mention, but you need to do it because God's calling you to take action. Be strong in the Lord.